I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gale Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. I know we say this every year, but really, this year, the potholes are so bad on Vermont roads. What gives? I feel vindicated to say that even the authorities on Vermont road conditions agree with us this time. So today we're going to find out why the potholes on our local roads are worse than usual and what the heck can be done about them. Dan Smith on Twitter says, wouldn't it be easier if we just identified the few smooth stretches on Vermont roads? So that's available too, although the show would be much shorter, I'm afraid. All right, all jokes aside, joining us to explain the science and the plans for improvements are Todd Law, Director of Maintenance for VTrans, and Chad Allen, Director of the Transportation Agency's Asset Management Bureau. Todd and Chad, welcome to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jane.
So it's not just our collective imagination or our sort of predilection for big fish stories. The potholes really are this big this year, Chad?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our travelers across state highways, they see the same things that we see out there. A lot more potholes, more stretches of roadway that need fixing. So it's not anybody's imagination.
Todd, why? Why is it so bad this year? I mean, again, we always think the potholes are bad, but this year, why? Why is it worse?
It started out as a bad winter to begin with. We had a lot of snowfall. We've had some very, very drastic freeze-thaw cycles, and that freeze-thaw cycle with frozen roads tends to move things around quite a bit. So water infiltrates cracks and starts to form a pothole. So it has been fairly difficult for us this year as a maintenance bureau.
So, Todd, tell us a little bit more what the actual science behind a pothole is. You mentioned there's a freeze-thaw cycle, water gets in under the roads, but give us the science here.
So water infiltrates cracks and saturates the subbase, so the gravel that's underneath. And as the temperatures warm during the day and freeze at night, the warming thaws that road, and then at night when it freezes, it expands. So expands at night. Warms up during the day because of the sunlight, et cetera. It contracts, and it forms that hole. Well, as traffic goes through, and if there's water still ponding there, it beats out all the gravel and then starts to beat up the asphalt and pops it right out. So it goes through these drastic cycles. If it's good for sap to run, for sugaring, it's actually bad for us for the roads if we have cracks and lots of water ponding.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like good sugaring weather is bad for potholes.
Definitely. That's one of the things we look at. Unfortunately, I don't think the sap has been running as well. I've heard from a bunch of sugaring friends that really haven't made as much as they did last year, which is kind of ironic because, we've exceeded how much material we've put out this year. We use a couple different materials, cold patch, which is a cold-in-place material that we use, and we actually purchased 4 asphalt recycling units that we use reclaimed or unused asphalt that came off the road to put out more of a hot material, so hopefully it bonds a little better. But everything we do this winter is temporary because the subbase is all saturated and the issue's still there. So anything we do, our crews are out there seeing the same potholes day in, day out. And they're just doing this to hopefully get them to seal out a little bit and limp us along until we can get something more permanent to repair them.
Bobby writes, I drive from the North Hollow of Rochester to Rutland Monday through Thursday. The first challenge is not to get stuck in the muddy ruts on my dirt, well, now mud roads. Many people do. Then there are the potholes and frost heaves all the way. Worst pothole, Route 100 in Rochester, but it sure is hard to define worst. Do Chad and Todd, do either of you know which pothole Bobby is talking about on Route 100 in Rochester?
I personally don't, Jane, but I can sympathize with him. And what I hear from folks is their road is the worst road in the state, no matter where you live. So certainly we're in touch with the issues that are out there. I have heard of Rochester on 100 as being in need of some attention, as well as other roads across the state.
So what's the difference between a pothole and a frost heave?
So potholes is actually a hole in the road itself where some frost heaving can cause potholes to form, but it's kind of an uneven heaving of the road or expansion of the road subbase material. So a lot of times when we see a frost heave, it's more of a hump in the road versus a hole in the road. And then we put up bump signs because there's really not a whole lot we can do with those. If there's different materials underneath, like clay is really susceptible to heaving. It expands a lot when it gets wet and freezes. So we see a lot of that clay that kind of pushes up and causes this bump, and that's what we refer to as a frost heave.
And then, Todd, does that go back down at some point? Or, you know, some frost heaves seem more permanent than others.
Yeah, some go back down. Most go back down, I'll say. Some of them do not. You know, as the moisture gets out of that subbase, as the frost leaves the ground, a lot of that moisture leaves too, and that's when things settle back down. But we do have some that, you know, and clay is a good one because it'll actually push up through the road and come towards the top of the road, and then you have this heave up there all the time that we have to dig out and put better material back in and then repave it. So you're right. There are some that stay out there for longer periods of time.
Let's go to Lisa, who's calling in from Charlotte. Hi, Lisa. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Can't believe I'm on, but anyway, I just had a funny thing. I use the potholes when I see the potholes like in the wintertime, I just go through them to see if they'll bounce off the packed snow and stuff that, you know, gets in the wheel wells.
So you're actually using the potholes to try to get all of that ice and muck out of your cars, out of your wheel wells?
Yeah, because sometimes it, you know, bounces and knocks the things out, but anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay,
well,
thanks.
Lisa, thanks for that good tip on how to make the most of the potholes on your daily commutes. You can actually, you know, maybe do some good. Chad, can people actually damage their cars, though, going over these potholes and frost heaves?
Absolutely, and I think that listeners should be aware that our mission in the Agency of Transportation is to keep people safe. And certainly the potholes present a situation out there where an unsafe situation could present itself. And so take care going through those areas that have high damage right now. So reduce speed, two hands on the wheel, be very aware of your car, and, you know, please drive carefully, watch out for other vehicles and other users on the roadway, because these sections of roadway are, as you can imagine, not as safe as other sections that are in better condition.
Is there any difference in terms of the dealing with winter weather between paved roads and dirt roads? I mean, certainly there are, of course, but, you know, is it better to have a dirt road when it comes to potholes? I mean, I live on a dirt road, and usually, you know, we get all kinds of ruts and we get this sort of waving in the road, but we have potholes in the dirt road this year, which seems even weirder than normal. So, you know, is there a difference in thinking about these winter conditions with paved or unpaved?
I think when we have bad pothole seasons, we have issues with mud roads, and the Agency of Transportation doesn't. We have a very short section of gravel road that the agency is responsible for, and we actually hire the town of Brookfield to maintain that. So we don't have much for mud season to deal with.
As
V-Trans, right. But as somebody who lives on a back road, it has been very problematic. That freeze thaw, of course, you know, you still have frozen ground underneath. So everything that's down beneath, I mean, frost can go down, be driven down 5-6 feet. So we still have frozen ground and then thawed ground on top. So you start getting a lot of that washboard where, you know, these little tiny pothole type things that shake your car all over the place. You get a lot of ruts. So it has been a very odd season. We've had a lot of sun with cold weather. We've had 60 degree weather and then down to the single digits or teens at night. And it's that big thing that causes the most issues. And honestly, when somebody posts a road, they look for those really cold temperatures to put a heavier vehicle out on those roads. So your tractor trailers and everything, you see a lot of those road signs go up that restrict the use. The town wants to regulate when people go out. So, and it's to eliminate a lot of that mud season. But it has been significantly bad. You know, like I said, somebody who drives some gravel roads. I've heard of other people who are parked their smaller vehicles and can't even get them out of their house because the mud season's worse than they've ever seen in the last, you know, people who live in their house for 15 years and never seen it this bad. So it's been bad all around on all of our Vermont roads, which is unfortunate for all of us, because I think it was a very expensive and difficult winter season for us too, which hopefully the economy will show some positives for us. We've had a lot of snow, and I've seen a lot of people heading towards the ski areas, and I think they've been packed, which is a good thing. But, you know, it has been difficult on both ends, the winter season, and now we're no spring starts tomorrow. But, you know, spring's already reared its ugly head in that aspect.
We're going to talk about these ideas about repaving and fixing potholes and prevention in the 15 minutes or so we have left. But I just want to highlight a few tweets that people are sending us of their favorite potholes or the ones that have endeared themselves to our listeners. Marilyn says Hyde Park in Burlington is a trip in every sense of the word. Michael says the entire length of Limekiln Road in New Haven and Moncton comes to mind. For Matt, it's U.S. Route 7 between Milton and St. Albans. He says it's horrible, even has its own Facebook page. And Glenn says Shelburne Road in front of Market 32 in Burlington has a series of potholes that are impossible to miss because traffic. And Joyce says 131 between Proctorsville and Cavendish Village, Route 5, Windsor-Wethersfield. But that one was temporarily fixed the other day. And let's get a few calls in here as we shift to thinking about what should we be doing about this? We're not going to get rid of volatile weather, so what do we do about the roads? And first we'll go to Fred, who's calling in from Duxbury. Hi, Fred.
Yes, good afternoon, folks. It's a little bit of a comment. I currently deliver fuel oil from the islands, from Milton westward all the way down to Moncton, from the lake, from Shelburne all the way out to Waterbury and Duxbury. And it's one of the reasons that I'm leaving this state is the roads, besides the cost of living and the taxes, but our registration, $76 to register a vehicle, and the roads are just horrendous. I've just had it. It was my tipping point. And it's one of the reasons that I've bought property elsewhere in another state, and that I'm moving, and they have much better roads. No offense against you guys, it's an uphill battle, but it's just my breaking point of driving, and I'm just getting beat up, and I'm just done. That's just a comment, pretty much. I understand you guys are against an uphill battle. I understand.
Yeah, Fred, I appreciate you sharing that perspective, and that, you know, potholes are contributing to your sense of just being tired of it all. And I'm sorry to hear that you're leaving, but wish you the best. Betsy's on the line with us from Burlington. Betsy, you have a story for us?
I do have a story. Thank you for taking my call. I have to confess that I'm married to Peter Clavel, who was mayor of the city for 15 years. And we have a funny pothole story to add a little levity to this program. One night back in the day when we only had landlines, the phone rang at 3 a.m. in the morning. And when Peter answered it, an angry voice said, you know, is this Mayor Clavel? I've got a pothole in front of my house, and every time cars go by, you know, I can't sleep, and you're mayor of the city, do something about it. So the following day, he calls up Public Works in Burlington, and he said, you know, would you guys please take care of this pothole for me and just let me know? They did. They let him know. So the next night, we're getting into bed, and he says to me, Betsy, set the alarm for 3 a.m. So I did. So at 3 a.m., the alarm goes off. He picks up the phone. He calls his fellow back, and he says, hi, it's Mayor Pete Clavel. And the guy wakes up, you know, he's froggy. He goes, what? What? He goes, oh, I just wanted to see if that pothole got fixed. And he goes, well, yeah, it did. And he said, but why are you calling? He said, well, I thought this is when you made all your calls. I'd add a little bit of laughter to your program.
Betsy, thanks. And see, potholes bringing the people of Burlington together for many, many years. Thank you for sharing that. We'll get one more in here from Mark, also calling in from Burlington. Mark, you got something to share as well?
Yeah, boy, I love the Clavel story. That was funny. Hey, I was traveling in the Republic of Georgia, a former Soviet Union satellite, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And I happened to notice that when they repair I'm watching this right on vacation. They line potholes first with a layer of hot tar or some kind of liquid tar. And then they put the asphalt on, and then they roll that down. And that made a lot of sense to me because you're effectively treating the surface. You're priming the surface before you put the stuff in. That makes perfect sense to me. That's number one. And number two is I've always suspected that the amount of regrind that we stick into our asphalt is leading to this rapid deterioration. Is there any truth to that? Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Mark, thanks for the call. So by regrind, is that, Chad, what you were talking about earlier? I think it was you, Chad, who was saying that you're reusing materials, sort of reclaimed asphalt?
We certainly use a certain amount of grindings in some of our material. That's usually a test that's done during construction to figure out how much asphalt is still left in the mix. And then based on those tests, they decide how much more they need to add. So the science behind the road construction is improving. You know, every year we always learn something new. And getting back to what Fred had said about, you know, leaving the state, that certainly is not what we want to hear. And we should tell folks that, you know, we measure the pavement condition every year on some of our roads and every other year on some of the lesser traveled roadways. And right now we have the most pavement in good and fair condition than we've had in the last 10 years and the lowest amount of pavement in poor, very poor condition in the last 10 years. So
how can it both be true that we have the really good condition for our roads, but also some of the worst potholes? I mean, does that mean that right now, actually, they're not in good condition, or is this actually we should be thankful for what we have?
No, I think, you know, we're always trying to improve on what we're doing and always trying to get the most bang for the buck for the taxpayers. I think the what we're talking about here is that the roads that are in that very poor condition state, they're cracked, they're letting the water in, and when you have some of the more extreme weather that we've had this winter and freezing and thawing, that just tends to kind of blow these roads apart. And so you see the damage and the effects a lot more than maybe you would have seen it if it wasn't as you didn't have as many freeze-thaw cycles and rain and things like that.
So the bad roads get worse, essentially?
And they get bad faster.
Let's get another call in here from Miriam in Williston. Hi, Miriam.
Hello.
Hi. What are you thinking about?
Oh, boy. Just everything. It's been a really tough, driving conditions. I'm wondering if any tests to come up with the better asphalt. You know, we have so much advancement in technology nowadays. Why can't, money be invested in trying to find a better solution then?
Yeah, so Miriam wants to know, you know, don't we have better technology now? Can't we do something about this? And so, Todd, what do you think in terms of, you know, Chad was saying we are advancing, we're getting better technology, and yet, you know, here we are in this situation that we find ourselves in most springs and perhaps this year worse than normal. But what is the technology that's going to work to get us to roads that don't do this so badly that we're having to repair them, which is more expensive every year?
So I think the biggest thing is, as maintenance bureau, we are tasked with going out and fixing the roads as they're coming apart during the spring thaw. And I mentioned we purchased some asphalt recyclers, and unfortunately we only have four around the state right now, and they can only produce a limited amount of recycled asphalt. So we take a lot of that reclaim, the grindings that was previously mentioned, and rejuvenate that with some really liquid that makes that flow again. So it makes it more like hot mix. So we have come...
And describe hot mix versus cold patch. Can you describe the differences?
So the biggest thing is we have to apply heat to the recycled material. So it heats back up. It starts to flow. And it goes out at, I don't know, 150 or 200 degrees, where cold patch goes out at ambient temperature. That's really cold. It's very, very sticky. but doesn't flow as well. So it doesn't seal where that recycled material that's heated up really does. It flows a lot better. It allows some of the moisture not to enter from the top. Of course, the moisture below it's already still there, but it is a much better material, but it's extremely expensive to purchase those machines. We bought the ones that we have about 4 years ago, and we're still trying it out to make sure this is the right way we want to do this, because it's such a slow process and we can't do as much as we'd like to. You know, when you're talking putting out 10 tons a day and we're putting out more like 50 to 60 on certain days, you know, we're definitely not getting to the level we need, but it is an improvement. You know, the way that our technique of doing this needs to improve. The problem is this year we've been going from, you know, our employees who are out plowing are also the ones that are patching potholes. So they get out of the truck after plowing early in the morning, and they get out when the snow stops, and they've been dumping off their load of salt and putting patching material on and going right back out to try to patch the road. So it's been difficult on the employees too. And I'm extremely excited and about the dedication of our employees, because I think, again, they've had a very difficult winter and the spring hasn't been friendly to them either. And I think they're really showing their true colors and their dedication to our traveling public, which is a wonderful thing.
Let's go to John calling in from Stratford. Hi, John.
Hi, Jane. Thank you. First off, I would, as a town official, I would also like to thank the AOT, you know, for the wonderful job they do and the support that they give to our local communities. However, the problem is we're not going to solve it until we put enough money and resources into maintaining our roads. And on a local level, most of the money for our 13,000 miles of town roads comes from property taxes. And we just can't raise that what we need from property taxes. This past spring, local officials met with the Transportation Committee, a joint hearing, and asked to consider raising the gas tax to help local roads so we can do the maintenance, keep up with things. And we even said, you know, put a cap. If gas gets to $3 a gallon, the tax goes away. But we're in desperate straits trying to have enough resources to stay up with our roads. And if you don't, you know, put a coat of asphalt on when you need to, if you don't do the crack sealing because you don't have the money, you end up losing your roads and it just gets worse. So until we find the resources and make a commitment to what arguably is our greatest shared public resource, you know, our roads, we're just going to be going downhill.
Yeah, John, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to pair your thoughts there with Liam, who's also writing about road funding. And Liam says, and Chad and Todd, you can correct the statistics if he's got them wrong, but Liam writes, 1 out of every 5 miles of highway pavement is in poor condition, and our roads have a significant and increasing backlog of rehabilitation needs. Vermont roads are frequently in poor condition, chronically underfunded, and are becoming more dangerous. Vermont ranks number 47 in the U.S. in terms of funding sources that are actually tied to road use, which means only 26% of the funds needed to pay for our road infrastructure is actually covered by usage fees like gas tax or car registration. Until this funding formula changes, conditions will only continue to deteriorate. So we have Liam here and John talking about, you know, we don't have enough money to do the maintenance that we know we can do and the prevention to try to prevent these. We need more money to make this happen. You know, Chad Allen, you're director of the VTrans Asset Management Bureau. Do you, first of all, agree that there needs to be more money put into maintaining our road infrastructure?
Yeah. Excuse me, Jane. Yeah, I was going to offer John a job. He was kind of making my job a little bit easier. So to kind of piggyback on some of his comments, what we know across the state is that we have what we call an asset sustainability index. And that index is the ratio of how much money we have divided by how much needs we have. And that kind of looks across the board of not only the labor and all that, but it looks at what our needs are for culverts, for guardrail, for maintenance activities for ledge slopes, for bridges, for pavements. And so that ratio is 0.67 right now. And so what that means is we have approximately 67% of the funds that we need to maintain our infrastructure in a state of good repair. And so John's absolutely right. And while we have that pressure, we feel that pressure to make better decisions constantly, the towns are also feeling that pressure. We hear that both at the State House and in our conversations with them. So John's absolutely on point. And for Liam, you know, one of every five roads in poor condition, well, our numbers tell us that we have 29% of our roads are in either poor or very poor condition. So his numbers are substantiated. And so when you look at an asset sustainability index of 0.67, there are different things that you can be looking at. You can be looking at increasing revenue. You can be looking at changes of levels of service. So maybe you don't keep the roads at a certain level. Maybe you don't have as many roads to invest in. Maybe you look at reducing some of that demand on your infrastructure. So there are some different ways that we can go about doing it, but you know, both of the callers are making some really good points.
Todd, if somebody said to you, if your bosses at VTrans said, look, Todd, money's not an object, so spend what you want, and if you need more workers, we're going to fund the hiring of more workers, so you've got all the workers, you got all the money, you buy whatever materials you need. Could we have perfect roads, or are frost heaves and potholes something that we are always going to have to live with, at least in some degree? Like, do we have the technology to fix this, just not the money, or is this something that we all have to sort of lump it?
Well, I think some of our roads are a little bit older. We have a lot of ancient roads that were never built to be what we call frost-free. And that's one of obviously one of the things we talked about quite a bit today is frost being kind of really our enemy in road repairs. So if you truly want to build a frost-free road, you have to dig it down. You have to put in good draining material. There's a lot that goes into that. So yeah, if money was no object, I think it'd be a wonderful thing for all of us. You know, the problem is we wouldn't be able to get around much at all to really build these roads to frost-free conditions. So even if we look at it more like let's give a better traveling surface for the traveling public, which in turn makes it easier for us to maintain. As we're plowing, we can plow off the road. We don't have ruts that are out there. So we actually do, and Chad and I work together on this with a lot of our agency staff, just trying to take some of these worst roads and make them so they're draining, that the ruts aren't formed there, so we can do our work. And in turn, it gives a better surface for the traveling public. So, you know, it'd be wonderful to live there and whatever
fairy tale
we're living in. And yeah, I think the truth of the matter is, you know, until you build a truly frost-free road, things are going to move. And you know, that's one of the things in these Northeast, the snow states, that we see quite a bit of, and we hear quite a bit of from our constituents in other states.
Well, I appreciate both of you being on the show today, and of course appreciate the hard work of the road crews, town and state, that are doing the work of actually repairing and trying to get out to the frost heaves and potholes. Todd Law is Director of Maintenance for VTrans. Chad Allen is Director of the Asset Management Bureau at the Vermont Agency of Transportation. Thanks very much to you both.
Thank you.